shows up. Think about this. This is why you got to stay childlike. I've learned when you stay in the heart of God and in the face of God every day, it'll keep you childlike. You'll see how big he is and how small you are. You're going to be really thankful you're in him. One of the tragedies is how many believers casually approach God these days. I mean, charismatics are the worst for it. Just being honest with you. I mean, God's moving powerfully and they're just talking in the middle of the room. There's nothing wrong with greeting people, but 20 minutes while worship is going on, God's speaking, God's healing people. Hey, oh, sorry, I got to take this call. Like, I'm not talking about phone rings, you forgot. I'm not talking about that stuff. A reverence for the things of God goes back to that honor thing. He shows up at David's house. Eliab comes and he goes, it's got to be the one. You never outgrow discerning. I think, too, there was a lot of pressure to pick Eliab. He'd gone to Harvard. Randy Clark ordained him. All the weird stuff we measure stuff by. God's just wanting to adjust all that stuff. Even with prophetic people. Well, I prophesied the Supreme Court. I prophesied Trump. It's like weird stuff. I'm not going to get judged by our accuracy. I'm going to judge, did you become like him? Well, that's important. It's important to have accurate words, but, I wonder if sometimes people lose their reward if they tell everybody that they prophesied it. And God goes, it's not the one. Samuel thought it was the one. And thank God, this is a picture for the world. Thank God somebody had the word of the Lord and didn't give in to prayer. I mean, honestly, every time I read that story, I say, I'm charismatic. I would have prayed in tongues and picked one of them. It's got to be one of them. He goes, is there someone else? So sometimes people have the directive of the Lord but miss discernment along the path. And then it doesn't, the fruitfulness that God said would be there is not there. And they're going, God, did what you asked me to do. Got to stay in that path, discernment, revelation, fellowship, leaning into the voice of the Lord. That's why it's so important. None of us have arrived in predetermining what we will do in certain situations. Not going to be moved by money, not going to be moved by this, not going to be moved by pressure, I'm not going to be moved by I will do what God asks me to do. We can only discover by experience the power that is resident on the inside of us when we choose obedience to God. Then you go, right? Then you're like, oh, this is like really hard. And the other part about it is, I would submit to you tonight, we need to change a lot of our language, even as charismatics. Well, that's really weird. No, it's normal. Problem is we've been so dysfunctional for so long when we do the things that God really has called us to live in and function in, we think it's weird. Because we have settled for dysfunction so long. Or that's unbelievable. No, it's very believable if it's God. I'm a believer who believes. So I realized, I need God. You're like, I can't do it. Yeah, I know. That's why he calls us to walk by faith. Trust him. He discovered there's power to do things you never thought was possible. And he takes you one step at a time. So here's Jesus. He's the model son. Fully God, fully man. And he models this lifestyle of fellowship and prayer with the Father. He is the perfect believer. He is the second Adam. He is everything that God intended for humanity. And you'll see he models this life. Luke 5, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Notice that the Spirit-led life includes intentional solitary time with the Lord. No one can have a relationship with God for you. And there are certain things that God has intended for you to discover in face-to-face encounters. Corporate gatherings he has intended for you to gather. That's why the corporate anointing, the corporate atmosphere is so important. Because in consistently connecting where God has told you to connect, in that corporate environment, you are intended to receive certain things that can only be found in that corporate environment. But also in your individual with the Lord, individual, there are certain things that you will not be able to receive without that. So the job of believers is to make sure their hearts are positioned correctly so when they come into a corporate flow, there's a heightened sense of faith and we can receive the things of heaven and we don't settle for the elementary things. There's so many things that God wants to teach the people of God. And many times we're still stuck in the elementary things. We're still talking about like 5 steps to forgive your mom and things like that. Those should be settled things. Very early, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 6:12, one of those days, Jesus went out on a mountainside and prayed and spent the night praying to God. Luke 9:28, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter and James with him up onto a mountain to pray. Luke 9, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and the clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. So you see, there was this intentional place of prayer. There was intentional knowing this is what the Father is leading. I only do what I see my Father doing in heaven. There was these set aside, reserved time things where there was this exchange between God and the Son. Here's some practical ways I discovered to knowing God. I love this. Allow yourself the privilege of knowing the beauty of God. There's something that you will never... There's like this beauty, and David talked about there are pleasures forevermore that you'll never discover outside of connecting with God and his presence. Here's just a good starting place. God knows your current life circumstance. And I always try to be very, very careful to never push on what God's required of me to other people. But God does want you to develop a habit of fellowship that is like developing your natural muscles. In God, here's what I've learned. In God, everyone has access to the same tools. You know, I have the same body as Mr. America, Ronnie. Same exact body. Arms, legs, biceps, back. What's the difference? He's developed them. You're all given the same tools. And the goal, and I learn often from life experiences that I had, the goal is that we have a choice, right? We have a free choice. It's one of the most powerful things we've ever been given as people. Probably, you know, your choice is actually even more powerful than the power of God in your life. It could be like God wanting to give you a miracle. You go, no, I don't want it. Okay. But we have this choice every day. Got to make these choices. But I've learned that when you make the same choices consistently, you stop thinking about consciously making those choices. From the time I was 7 till the time I was 23, I wrestled amateurly. Amateur wrestler, went to college on a partial wrestling scholarship. And when I was, my last year that I competed, I was still practicing the same moves that I practiced as a 7-year-old kid. And in practice, sometimes it's 2, 2.5, they don't practice as much anymore. They've learned that's probably not the wisest thing, but 2, 2.5 hours, hour and a half. And they're putting you in practice in all different situations, in all different scenarios, all different positions. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to practice over and over again a certain way so that when you are in the match, you do not have time to, I need to do this if he grabs my leg. I need to do this. You have consistently developed involuntary responses to the environment that you've put yourself in. So when you develop godly habits, you are no longer consciously making these choices. They are just settled issues in your life. One of the beauties now of practicing certain things, I don't actually ever think of it. It's like, you know, or another great way to describe it is driving a car. Remember driving a car? Yeah, my mom prayed a lot. Got my lessons. You went into another fast for that one. I probably contributed to help keeping her really skinny. So what happens? I remember, first time driving. Look at the mirror. Look it back. Check both ways. Some of you don't even do that now. You can see it on your face. Today, when I pull out of my driveway, I don't do that anymore. I've developed a habit. I'm watching my blind spots. Declaring Psalm 91 as I go. What happened? Those habits have developed involuntary responses that define my existence on the earth. You don't ever arrive, but now you're living exactly as God intended you to live. Love Exodus 3. It says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. It's in this turning. Certain things you will not know until you make that turn. That's that feast. Years ago, I had this vision. In this vision, I saw like believers come to the table. It's like you could, it's like you couldn't even see the end of this table, full of stuff. And the person came up and ate like, it looked like a salad. I was like, God, this is amazing! So good! So good. And at the end of the salad, they go, I'm done! And they walk away. And God goes, there's more. No, there's more. You just had like course one of a million. And the next person, oh, God, it's so good! They get up and walk away. Now, I'm a little different, but sometimes I've learned, and it could just be 5, 10 minutes. I think like a week ago, I was just like doing something. And just like the weight of God just came into my home office. I just stopped. He's here. He's here. Sometimes all he does, all he wants to let you know is that he's here. And he's with you. So I encourage you, if you don't already, find a consistent time to meet with the Lord. Here's something interesting. I encourage people, have a vision for a life of fellowship with God. I've had to constantly upgrade this vision because I used to sit there. I wrote this down years ago. I said, God, I'd like angels to come to my house. It's in the Bible. I'd like to have this sort of experience. No, I'm serious. People plan for their future. People plan for their money. A lot of people don't plan to know God. Write it down. I put scripture to it. I had to upgrade it because it started happening. But it didn't happen just... I knew for years there's something that the Lord just wanted me just to be satisfied with him, even if I didn't see anything, feel anything. And then he started coming. I have a friend, if I mention your name, you probably know him. He sat one time, I think it was 6 months, almost all night. God, come! Nothing happened. And I think like in the last night he was about to give up, whoo, he goes up into heaven. Changed his life. Began to see differently. But I've learned, I enjoy experience, encounter is definitely part of it. Definitely part of it. I am constantly aware, I'm very thankful that I am not alone. I often know, every time I minister, I know what angel is with me, what anointing is going to be in the room. I also can feel things. But that is not the reward. The reward is him. And in him, he gives me the tools. The tools are not meant to be glorified. They're meant to put him on display. Why do you want to be prophetic? Because Jesus was a prophet. Why do you want to do miracles? Because Jesus did miracles to elevate the king. Why do you want to have compassion? Because Jesus had compassion. The goal is to be like him. I like that. We're in the South. Amen. Man. Here's what I encourage you to constantly practice in your time with him. And you know, you can talk to him all day, but have that intentional time. You'll start at maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you'll realize that's not enough, and you'll develop your inner man. And then you'll begin to discover there's a rhythm and there's a waltz every day. And I've learned, haven't arrived in today, some things were coming my way. And I lean into you. I will not be overwhelmed by this. And I am not meant to. The greatest thing I've ever learned is I am no one's Messiah. I just really need you to do this. No, you need God. You've had that issue for 20 years and I'm not going to help with that today. Here's a big thing in walking with the Lord. Learn how to say no. You're not compassionate. No, I'm following the Lord. But there's a rhythm in walking with the Lord. There's a cadence in walking with him that you can only discover in that intentionality. But then I encourage you to pray, like Paul said, without ceasing. Ask God to give you a consciousness everywhere you go that he's with you and that you can commune with him. Yes. You know, wash your dishes, praying in tongues. Put off all that stupid stuff, Fox News, CNN. So I encourage when you come into the presence of God, don't release your burdens to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 is really key in connecting with the Lord. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him. Why? He cares for you. So Lord, I just thank you for this exchange today. Give you my weights, my worries, my concerns. It's not my concern. I just give it to you. Because you can handle it all, God. You're God. So you're pretty good at that. Worship. If you don't know how to connect with God, I started with tapes. You know how I really learned to engage the Lord? I'd pray tapes from one side to another. My life changed, literally, because I went to this conference. It was my first time at the Brownsville Revival. And I went specifically, and that's the other thing, put yourself around people who know God. That's it. Producing fruit. Not people talking. You can tell. People have a look who know God. They do. They have a look. You can discern it. People, you know, I just, they're talking all this, like, there's no real substance to what they're saying. It's an idea to them. It's an intellect. Is God an intellectual idea or an experience to you? Got to ask yourself that. So Suzette Hadding, I went that week because I knew she, I think she had just finished being Reinhard Bonnke's intercessor. She said something that changed my life. It's really simple. I didn't know. Nobody was teaching me. Just on this journey to know God. And I was an athlete too, so I don't necessarily suggest this, but I would say, I'm not moving for the next 10 minutes till you and I talk. And I go to 20, then 30, and you know, I'm not moving. I don't care how boring it is. I know you got to come. Seriously, I was from New Jersey too, so I talk to God like that. I'm very, very honest with God. You know, that's important. There's people that lie to themselves, so God can't be honest with them. They lie to God. You got to be honest where you're at, you know. He says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. If you don't examine yourself, well, you know, I have this issue. No, you have an addiction. God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you, but he wants to free you. Can't blame your ex-wife for that. Can't blame your third grade teacher for that. Might have been the cause, but you're not defined by that. So once you get honest with that, then God can relate to you properly. It gets quiet, though. It's very, very important to be honest with God. As much honesty as you know how. Well, it's just not working out. No, you didn't do what God told you to do. But she said this. Get to that story. She said, most of my time in her South African accent, I was watching the other day, or saw her on Facebook the other day. Most of my time with the Lord is simply spent worshiping him. I thought, what? I didn't know you could die like worshiping. Come on. So I got every Integrity Live album tape. I did. I bought it all. When you're all in, it doesn't matter. You know? Probably had $500 to my name and sent $200 on tapes. Like, it's not a big deal. And I go in a room, one side, turn it to the other side. And they started CDs. Still got some of that right here on this phone. Worship, meditate and confess scripture, take time to listen, learn his voice, learn to emphasize what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. This morning I got up and I was just talking to the Lord about something. I knew his head, take care of, you know, do some writing this morning, and just puts my friend on. And I thought I was going to pray for something else. But you know, when you're seeking first the kingdom, that's seeking first. Okay, we're going to pray for my friend right now. Haven't thought of him in 3 months, so that's probably the Lord. So, you know, it's not that hard sometimes to distinguish that voice. The devil's not going to tell you to give $5,000 to that building project. He's not going to tell you to forgive. I guess some of this stuff is just very elementary. Like, I'm not sure. No, it's probably God. Well, I've never done that, but it's definitely God. I feel really stretched. Welcome to walking with God. Yes. I don't think I can do it. Just take a step forward. Here's another thing. We all like different things. There's things that we're drawn to. And I've learned that in many of the things that we're drawn to, these are times that we can fellowship with the Lord. I know people who love gardening. They talk to the Lord in their garden. And they just experience God in their garden. One of the things I love to do on my day off is I just get in my car and I love the back roads. I don't ask God for anything. Don't bring any petitions to him. And often I just say, if you got something to say, let me know. But I'm just going to focus on you right now. So learn the creative ways God wants to connect with you. You know, one of the ways I've learned, it's just really simple too, to accelerate your life of fellowship and encounter with the Lord, is make fasting a regular part of your life. We know fasting doesn't earn us anything from the Lord. I've just learned this whole thing accelerates with knowing God. When we just set aside. And this is just a principle I've learned in my own life, and it's been applied really well. The longer the Lord gives me more assignments. Years ago, I was around, had the privilege of being around Dr. Kingsley Fletcher, and he, amazing man of fasting and prayer, prophet of the Lord, real prophet. When Dr. Fletcher would pray for me, I could actually feel things happening in my life, not just foretelling. He actually was causing things. There was a weight on the things he would share with me. I remember years ago, I was sitting at his table in his home, maybe like 15 people there. He looks at me and he says, "Abner!" "Yes, sir." He's African. He said, "You don't worry about fulfilling the words over your life. You have many good words. You change world. You work on here. And in one day, God can fulfill every prophetic word over your life." But he taught us. He said, you know, most people, you know, they want to fast for 30 days, 80 days, whatever. You know, they're all in. They're very zealous. The Lord had to, well, actually, I'll tell you this story here in a minute. He told me this 2 years ago, but I thought the Lord asked me to live a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. He said, you know, you got that wrong. He told me this about a year and a half ago. You got that wrong. I asked you if you would live a life of fasting and prayer. But since he said yes, I've rewarded you for it. You thought I was commanding you. I said, it's good because I might have not done it. I like eating. The other thing, for years I was used to checking my weight. I never wanted to see a scale. I never wanted to see another diet anymore. I had all the characteristics of people with eating disorders. Do you check your weight? Yes, on a daily basis. Do you think about foods that you can't eat all the time? But he taught us this principle, and I began to apply it to my life. He said, most people want to do these extended things, but they have so much activity going on, they actually don't pray more or fellowship with the Lord more. He said, I find taking 1, 2, 3, 4 days where I actually can set aside with intentional worship and prayer and word much more effective for fruitfulness. I encourage you, you don't need to do it if the Lord tells you. Take one meal, and in that time that you would eat, you know, I've noticed how much I spend time eating. Just take lunch. God, I'm going to talk to you right now. And it just adjusts you. Here's another characteristic. Anytime I felt like I needed something, I enjoy coffee. But anytime I feel like I got to have a cup of coffee, I don't take it. I don't want anything to control me more than the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything. That's strong light. And there is grace right now for the people of God to get their bodies healthy. Amen. In the context of practicing persistence, intentionality, and consistency, we will train our inner man to function as God created it to function. 1 Peter 1, verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. How we cooperate with here defines what's out there. The heart, when it refers to the heart in Scripture, it's not referring to a physical organ. The heart represents the idea of the will, human choice, and conscience. The heart is the center of decisions. It's where conversion takes place. The heart functions as the source of thought, reflection, highlights of its intellectual capacities. To hold one's truth in one's heart is to fully understand it in a way that will impact one's life. Notice when Peter taught, he He used that, Luke used that phrase, it cut them to the heart. So it's the heart. And here's something really, really important that I've discovered. I'll land the plane with this next 6 points. There are certain truths that are elementary that you cannot discover unless your heart is positioned in a place of hunger. I'm going to read it here in a minute. It's really, really interesting. So we're talking tonight, giving some, hopefully we're giving some tools here biblically on how to develop a fellowship with the Lord. How many would agree that's an important thing to do as a believer? Here's what's interesting. In the Gospels, Jesus never teaches his disciples about this subject. You would think it would be one of the first things he teaches them. Guys, sit down and let me teach you here how to talk to God. Because before I even picked you guys, I mean, I wouldn't have picked you guys. I prayed all night and then I chose you guys. He doesn't give a lesson on it. The only time he gives a lesson is when they ask him about it. So even elementary things will not come to you unless you are hungry to receive them. That's why he says, to whom who has, more will be given. God is definitely not a socialist. Here it is, Luke 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his to pray. So he... The Gospels teach us that he never gives them a lesson on this unless they are hungry to receive it. And it is your hunger that will open to you realities and truths that are necessary for your journey in life. Here's the thing, and we'll read this other story here in a minute. Here's what's fascinating. As long as I've learned, I could be missing certain things, I cannot see certain things, or God said something to me and I kind of missed a turn, but if I stay the path, I'll get what he's trying to get to me. Stay consistent, don't give up, trust him, keep moving on. Careful what comes out of my mouth. Don't be double-minded, trust the word of God. When everything looks like it's falling apart, focus on what I can steward right in front of me. I remember years ago, I thought I was praying. I was complaining. You know, you think you're being spiritual, but you got diapers on and you're pooping everywhere. It's true. When you start knowing his voice, you know certain things. I said, you said you would do this. You said you would do this. And it's not happening. I remember because I needed it. He said to me, this was in that same season, not the same conversation. He said, I didn't bring you into a wilderness to destroy you. Brought you in a wilderness to teach you how to receive from me in any season. And to teach you how to be an oasis in any season. And in this context, he said to me, he said, I never waste people's time. People waste my time. If you will keep stewarding what I've told you to do, I will do what I said I would do. Look at Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two men were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. All of these things. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is fascinating to me. They're talking about things about Jesus. And he comes to them, and they're like, who's this guy? He's kind of ignorant, too. He doesn't know what's going on. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said, this is funny. Jesus is funny. God has a sense of humor. What kind of conversations is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? So they're sad. Then one of those who was Clopas answered and said, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened in these days? And he said to him, what things? I just changed the world. Tell me about what I just did. You also notice, though, that principle that he never does another miracle on the earth. Can't violate that principle. He's in a glorified body now. Only humans have the privilege of doing that. Sons of God. Catch that. He's committed to his word. He will not violate the principle over all the earth. He said these things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all his people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. But we are hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. See, there's a genuine desire there. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early were astonished. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, catch this, slow of heart. Something was not positioned in their heart right there, but there's a moment here. There's a gracious opportunity. Slow of heart, what? To believe or to trust in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter his glory? I love this. I ask God this all the time. In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. See, opens it up to him. Revelation. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. I love this. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now notice, they have not understood that it is Jesus in front of them yet. Yet their hunger goes, whoa. I've never heard of this guy. He's not even on TV. But he's saying something that we need to hear. They reverenced what they were hearing. Oh, big deal right there. They reverenced what they were hearing and experiencing, and it opened their ability to see him for who he was. They stewarded what had already been revealed to them. Come on, please stay. There's more you have to say. It's a beautiful thing. It's only your hunger for the Lord that will unlock elementary things. And this is why it's so important. There is unprecedented revelation and a spirit of acceleration available to the people of God in this season. No other generation has been given access to certain things this generation. It doesn't go beyond the word, but is applicable for this time. I keep seeing just almost on a regular basis just these plans of the Lord for the time period in we live in. I've heard the Lord tell me, yeah, there's some people who lost their job in the kingdom during the pandemic or, you know, the shutdown. And it was because I actually allow it to happen because I want to reposition them for greater purpose. You're like, I'll do whatever you want, but I kind of like this job. So he just lets the job go. He says, now you can do what I want you to do. But how am I going to make it? Oh, I have a real good track record of providing. Their eyes were opened. Now it came to pass, he sat at the table, took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. I'm telling you, just stay that course. Stay hungry. There are things that sometimes I inquire of the Lord. Sometimes months. How do you want to do this? Show me. Show me. And I'll be like watching wrestling. And he starts telling me the answer to it. The other day, I had to pull over the side. I said, oh, yeah, I need to hear this. Honor those moments in God. Honor the Word of God. Honor each other. It's a big one right there. Honor each other. So I've noticed sometimes when I'm in corporate meetings, yes, I'm receiving from whoever's leading that meeting, but that person next to me's got that breakthrough that I need. Got to honor what they got. Verse 32, did our not hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I can identify with that. So that very hour, they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered saying, the Lord is risen indeed. This is amazing. They go from not knowing if it's true to going, he did rise. Revelation. And has appeared to Simon and he told them about the things which had happened on the road and how he is known to them in the breaking of bread. There's this simplicity that I'm constantly learning. Stay the course. Listen to his voice. Refuse to allow yourself to be overwhelmed. And there's a premium on the words we're speaking right now. There's a premium on what we'll say. There's a premium on receiving heaven's assignments for this season. And I encourage you, by the grace of God, dig in and dig your foundation deeper than it's ever been. The Lord told me in March when the shutdown began, he goes, this doesn't change. My purpose is for the earth and my people. Did you receive this word? If you receive this word, I just encourage you, 1, 2, 3, just lift your hands. There's a rest in this room, a rest of faith. Thank you, God. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, thank you for the cloud of rest that's here tonight. I see Jesus in this room. He's got this mallet in his hand and he's just breaking wrong mindsets. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that in this next season, there's a door that as we walk with you, you're breaking all wrong mindsets. And now Jesus is touching people's ears. I bless your ears to hear. Now he's putting his hand on people's heart. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you to receive the fire and the kindness of God.